house because I usually don't have a house. But the police can come into my house and search my house for illegal milk crates.
Ah, for illegal milk crates. That's a pretty serious situation.
D.A. Ramos wanted that on my probation, and they wanted to extend my probation another year. No. We'll just go to a trial then, you know. And finally, Judge Cloud, the Honorable Judge Cloud in infinite wisdom said, no, he's not going to get extended probation. And we also agreed that I would not get the search clause, too. Because that would be great, you know. Cops bust down my door, you know. They have to hunt me down if I'm driving a car and search my car. They have to search my pocket, see if I got a milk crate in my pocket.
You could have a miniature milk crate.
So they could stop me at any time to search me. And that's another thing the drug war does, is it gives certain people search clauses, and they have no freedom, they have no life. You know, they could be stopped at any time by, you know, Detective Haley and the CNET squad.
It also becomes the basis for excluding masses of people from the downtown area.
Right.
If the merchants don't like them down there, then, you know, the judges and the police glued in setting up these OR conditions that require you to stay away from the mall.
And it's a tool to control the public. Get them strung out on drugs and then slap them with search clause. And then if they can't deal with that, well, we'll stick them in prison. They can, you know, they can be a workforce for nothing. So that's basically what's happening to our system.
Okay.
But I'm going to go. You got some guests. And thank you for having me on your show.
Marco says goodbye.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, Bob.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Well, we're getting a number of callers talking about the specifics of what's going on with them here in Santa Cruz. This is not just general railing. We're talking about specific crimes and misdemeanors by the police department, by our local politicians, against the rights of folks here in town, folks who live here, folks who are poor. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and we're in the studio with Donna Dice and Marco and Marocchi. You guys are Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, and I've been bad-mouthing Kennedy all night, but he apparently has done some good things, too. He helped you pass some kind of a rental appropriation for the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz? Got to get a little closer. I think our mic only goes so far.
He helped sponsor an item on the agenda to give us a $1,200 grant that would help cover the fees for filing an application for a special use permit, so that we could lease an office front from the county.
And how's that going? Have you found a front yet? Or are you seeking, for example, perhaps a grant from the Department of Justice to set up an informant network against landlords?
We don't deal with the LEAA.
Donna, you're here as well. You've been stalking the courthouses for the last year, trying to inform people when they have unlawful detainers. What's been happening with that?
Well, we've learned how to do a lot of different papers and help people do them so that they have time to get another place and help them negotiate with the landlord so that they'll dismiss a lot of these cases and they won't have to go to court, and they can still go ahead and go to small claims court, and we stick with them through the whole process.
In fact, you gave me a call the other night. When, because you two are, I guess you've got some more volunteers than you used to have, but you're still a pretty pretty small force of folks, and you need help, I presume, in keeping an eye on the slumlord city here in Santa Cruz. Again, for those, we're going to be repeating this number for the next few minutes, but the number for the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz is
426-0644.
That's 426-0644 for TRUSC, Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz. If you're a person who has a rental problem with a landlord, if you're maybe a landlord has a rental problem with a tenant, if you're a person who is concerned about a potential problem, if you want to be helpful in helping other people who have these problems, give a call to 426-0644, Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz. You got a bunch of books there, Marco. What's this all about?
Well, I wrote away to Nello Press, who are real famous for their self-help books in law, and they sent us a whole box full of books today. We just received them by UPS.
Did you pay for them, or were these?
No, they were donations. One of our first corporate donations.
Oh, wow. Tenants' rights? I mean, tenants actually have rights? Come on.
Well, yeah, tenants do have rights. 1942.5, protections from retaliatory eviction. And then Civil Codes 1950, regarding rent deposits, habitability, etc.
Are all these books on file down at the basement of the county building at the law library?
Yes, most of, yes, all of them are on file there too. So people can go there and look at them also. And once we get our office front open, they're welcome to come in and get a library card with us and use the books.
Yay.
Yay. Well, you know, I thought you guys were working on some kind of, if everything is hunky-dory in the law, why was it that a month and a half ago you were telling me on this same radio station that you need some kind of tenants' rights law here in Santa Cruz?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. These the laws that we have don't cover a fraction. We need rent control, not rent control, but eviction control laws. And we've written up some legislation to that effect. And it's really tight, it's really strong, it's much stronger and more powerful than the Santa Monica, San Francisco, and Berkeley eviction control ordinances.
Is it likely to see the light of day, or is this just some sort of ideologist's dream?
No, it's going to be, it's being passed around, and people are seeing it and looking at it, and I'm doing my job by asking for a yard, and I'm expecting maybe a foot and a half.
I see. Now, are we talking about local city law, a county ordinance, or a state law?
Oh, it's going to be county, city, and state. That's my preference.
And which of these are you going to, the city council, the board of soups, or the legislature, or all three?
You see, that's a strategic question. I don't want to give my strategy away.
So you're going to the people right now?
I'm going to the people right now. We have to create a mass movement of people. 53% of the city are renters. They should all be on our side and should join with us. That's 20,000 households. We should get at least 10,000 of those 20,000 households signed up and becoming members. And we could, of course, we could do a lot. If 100 households gave us a full $3 a month dues for the year, that's $36. That would cover our rent. That'd be $3,600 given to us by only 100 of the 20,000 renters out there, or 40,000 renters out there. And that would cover our rent at the storefront. And then we get another 100 at $24 a year. That's $2 a month. And that would cover our utilities, our webpage, and et cetera, et cetera, and so on.
This is a pitch for money from the audience. You're trying to squeeze my listeners.
Well, this is part of our canvassing, and I think that, you know, we should have fundraisers on pirate radio, for pirate radio also.
So you actually, how many people belong to the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz as dues-paying members?
Oh, we've got about 50, close to 50.
Well, I'd like to sign on. I'll join up here. I am? I haven't paid any dues recently.
Well, you're doing in-kind services. You give us soft money.
I see. A soft money. I'm not sure what that means. Oh, we have an incoming call here. Heavens. I didn't even notice.
You're on Free Radio Santa Cruz?
Yeah. Did I mention that the Committee of Appeals Sleeping Bands is meeting at 1 o'clock Saturday on the back porch of the Loudon Nelson Center?
You did not.
Yeah, well, I would like to be sure to mention that. Could you mention that for me?
Well, I think you already have.
It's really important that anybody that supports Repeal City Amendment come out and in some fashion, just even if you're going to just carry petition to get three signatures, that's going to make a difference. We really need to get this on the ballot, and we're really hurting for signatures. Actually, we're hurting for people to turn the petitions back in. If you got a petition, please turn it back in. I won't give us the numbers, but we got lots. We got enough petitions out there now to put us on the ballot. But we need to keep pushing. And this Sunday, on the 19th is our big church, what we call Big Church Day. But the next two Sundays we're going to rehearse, and we're going to actually this Sunday have people out in front of some churches. But we'll have that training Saturday at 1 o'clock. And we are paying homeless people to carry petitions and gather signatures. By the way, repeat, your petitions were signed all wrong. Give me a call. You got to sign them right. Talk to you later.
All right. Thank you.
So that was David Silva of the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban on the show earlier, reminding those of you who are circulating Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban petitions that, hey, it's time to get those petitions turned in. And specifically to petition signer, or I should say circulator repeat, you need to get in touch with David Silva because you've made some errors in the signature there. However, we will wait on the punishment phase of that particular situation. Getting back to people who actually are lucky enough not to have to sleep outside, I want to repeat again, 1 o'clock on Saturday in back of the Loudon Nelson Center, there's going to be an exciting petition signing drive and possibly an orgy. I'm thinking of personally contributing my own, we'll get into that later. So getting back to tenants' rights, what's new? I know that you gave us a call a couple of days ago saying that there was a case in court where a man was being evicted who was an Alzheimer's person.
He had some dementia, prostate cancer, and some sort of blindness. And And we helped him get, basically in the end, if you wanted to add it all up bluntly, 4 months free rent, and he has till a week to move, and he's going to be moving next door in his apartment complex. So it worked out really, really well. He didn't have to pay any lawyer's fees. He did well.
And actually, this is, and you got, of course, a third cut of this, probably, what, $5,000?
Yeah, we usually get, you know, 25, 30%.
Which was 25% of nothing is nothing?
Just about.
I see.
But actually, he did save about $2,400 in rent.
And he's offered, of course, to pay you back in pennies over the year.
Yes, he's a true friend.
Mm-hmm.
Friend of true.
Mm-hmm. Our friend of trust, anyway, Tenants Rights Union of Santa Cruz, which can be reached at 426-0644. Again, I want to emphasize that these two people in the studio, and I don't usually give this kind of praise, are pretty damn dedicated. I mean, these folks have been out there coning through the files in Superior Court, looking for Municipal Court, and correcting those ignorant radio broadcasters who can't seem to get the first thing right about these cases, sending out postcards to folks telling them about illegal detainers.
Unlawful detainers.
See, I mean, it's happening even as we speak. In education,
we did 500 unlawful detainers this year.
That's a big amount. That's about 45 a month.
So you're rolling down the pike, and you've actually been acknowledged by Scott Kennedy, and possibly you've been in touch with my old nemesis, Michael Rotkin.
Yes, Michael Rotkin made a motion at our where we were granted the $1,200 for the fees to pay for the application fees. He motioned, and they all passed us to be a quasi-governmental agency, which gives us extra privileges and gets us into the rental place on Water Street.
I see. So you. You're getting the seal of approval from the city council. This probably means I should have nothing more to do with you, but it shows in this particular case that I am willing to even cooperate with individuals such as yourself.
Well, I'm hoping we can form the Renters Party and get our own people elected.
That would be good. Anything new coming up in the next couple of weeks that folks concerned about eviction control can do something about?
Well, they can contact us at 426-0644 and pick up a copy of our legislation. And they can review it and come back to us, and we can powwow on it. And we are also going to be going to the Planning Commission to get our lease ratified from them with their special use permit.
And there may be at some point legislation coming up at one of these mysterious bodies, we don't know which one, about a tenant's bill of rights?
Yeah, I'd say look everywhere, because that's where we want to be. Because we need it in the city of Capitola, Watsonville, Scotts Valley, Santa Cruz, and the county of Santa Cruz.
So if you're being evicted unfairly, or you're afraid that's about to happen, or you think the landlord's pulling a fast one, give a call to 426-0644, or even join us here on the conversation on the air. Our studio line is open at 423-5361. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM in Santa Cruz. Voicemail for our station is 427-4523. If you want to catch us off air, email address frsc@cruzio.com, mailing address P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Again, phone number for getting into the conversation tonight, 423-5361.
We do have something coming up before the Board of Supervisors, and we may want people to be there for us. Have them give us a call at 426-0644. It's a really important session that's going to be happening in the middle of April.
A word to the wise should be sufficient on that issue. There's a resource here, folks, for you out there if you need some help. And if you want to provide some help to those who need help even more than you do, the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, they are a steady group, unlike some of us who've been fighting the sleeping ban, who fight it in fits and starts, and I don't include that stalwart David Silva in this description. He's been fighting for day by day on this issue, but a lot of us, you know, we roll into town, we do what we can, and then we fall asleep, those of us who can sleep legally. But Donna and Marco have been doing this for the last year, 2 years almost now. I'm not quite sure. How long has this been going on?
Well,
the Unlawful Detainer Project, about a year, and Marco's been doing other activities previous to that for quite a few years.
We have another call coming in.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Oh, this is Silver. And I'd like to tell Don and Marco they're doing great work, and I just sent my $3 in.
Oh, great.
That they know what problem I'm dealing with, and I'm foreseeing a problem of maybe being squeezed out of here.
Now, Silver, for those who don't know you, you are one of the infamous Holy Hemp Sisters.
That's right.
And maybe you can tell us who the Holy Hemp Sisters are and what they're up to.
Well, the Holy Hemp Sisters are part of an umbrella group with Santa Cruz Hemp Council and Adios Camp, and I'm also WAMS nurse and a patient activist for marijuana. And what we do is a spiritual, political change work and ritual, and let people know about the spirit of it, and also do our political change work that way. That's one of the caps I wear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very proud of the Holy Hemp Sisters. Theodore Carey and Sandra Pastores are the co-founders, I believe it was 9 years ago. I came out from New York, New Jersey area, moved to Santa Cruz about 8 years ago, and they snatched me up. So I have a platform to speak about a plant that's very dear to me and many different parts of it, hemp, medicine, spirit, blah, blah, blah. And I heard about, I talked to Donna on the phone, and she's a dear friend of a friend here. I'm so busy with WAM and things like that, but I've encouraged other people in this building and to not be intimidated and call them. And I would like to get some more literature, maybe a flyer I can reproduce, because someone keeps ripping them down. You know, ignorance. Probably the manager. And, you know, I'm laughing over the tears, I think, because I've been here on the housing authority list 8 years, and paying all of my disability money. I was a straight nurse one time, now I'm a better nurse, marijuana nurse, but I get, you know, money for my disability that I never see. It goes right to the management. They've also managed to hike up, of course, without an explanation, my rent and a few others that pay full contract rent here, $25 more. That's $50 in 6 months. So, yeah. And, you know, fortunately to all my political activism and things, people make sure that I'm not starving.
Well, it's, you know, it's interesting. There are ways of fighting retaliatory evictions, because I know Donna has made that fight successfully in her own case at least twice, and in the case of other people as well. When the landlord attempts to punish you for organizing or political activity around mm-hmm. around that, or any political issue, or even trying to get your house repaired and tries to punish you with an eviction, that's a form of retaliatory eviction which can successfully be fought. In fact, I should probably give that to either Donna or Marco to talk about.
Right.
You want to talk about that, Donna? She's looking a little dubious. So.
Well, I'm going to call her again, because I do want to get that legislation that they're talking about, and
uh-huh.
I sent my $3. And very proud of what they're doing. And it's about time we had some backbone in this city to have some type of acknowledgement of the war and the poor and rent control and credit checks and the whole trip. And they just keep creating new homeless. Homelessness is not an option. It's not an option.
It's interesting. I should quickly add, this is kind of on a secondary subject, but I know Theodora, she and I spoke earlier tonight, and I wasn't able to, I'm not going to have time to put on the brief interview I had with her. Maybe I will later,
mm-hmm.
but I only have about 20 minutes left of showtime. She did invite people to come to the library, the second floor of the library, those people who are interested in a fluoridation initiative.
That's right.
To make sure that the city does not compulsorily put fluoride in the drinking system, even though it has been passed by the city council that should not be done. It's still, that's only a city council action. I guess the state body is making some kind of there's threats of some sort of legal action taken by state agencies to override that.
Mm-hmm.
So for folks who want to show up and to be a part of that initiative, that fluoride process, to make it not a compulsory fluoridation, come to the city library, the main library downtown. Even now as I speak, between 7 and 9, Theodora is going to be there discussing that issue with interested people. Sorry to do that on your phone time
okay.
there,
that's
Silver.
Good. That's good, because I, you know, she's my close buddy, and she had told me about this, too. I'm glad you're announcing that.
Are you also listening to the radio?
Me?
Can you hear the radio as you speak?
No.
You can't. Okay, well,
am I listening to your show? Yes, but
yeah.
I have it off right now.
Oh, good. Okay, so Marco says hello.
Hey, this is Marco.
Oh, hi, Marco.
Tennessee Rights Union. I wanted to say thank you very much for your kind and generous comments.
Can you hear Marco?
Hello?
Can you hear Marco?
Yes.
Okay, good. We do plan to have an organizing meeting there at your apartment complex.
Uh-huh.
You know, about 6 months ago, there were four Afro-American families that were evicted from that complex. And
right.
There's overtones of racism there that have been happening. And someone else is getting evicted. She's Arabic. And we feel there's some kind of economic cleansing going on over there.
Yes, there is.
Plus, there's the fact that a lot of Section 8-based projects are coming up for privatization this year. There's 12 of them in Santa Cruz. I don't know if your apartment complex is one of them.
That's
even more reason for us to get together and organize all the Section 8-based projects in Santa Cruz. Because we have to do something now. There's no organization. We should hook up with the National Tenants Association for HUD projects and do something about this urgent matter that's coming up as far as losing money, losing subsidies, and having some of that housing going for privatization. So I'm hoping we can get a meeting together at the community room at your place, the Riverfront. There's about four or five vocal activists there.
Right.
And I think just a few posters being put up and some knocking on doors, we can get people there. The first of the month, I think the first week of the month is a good time because people just get their checks and just pay their rent. They may have a couple of bucks left over, and that's going to be essential in any organizational movement, is to have a few bucks so people can come by and pick up the newsletter, the eviction control protection legislature that we have drawn up.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Excuse me?
When is this going to happen?
Well, that depends on this core group that's living there, when they want it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to discuss that more.
I would love to. And
okay, great.
I'm also disabled. I don't get around a lot. Don't have a car, but I know you're right near me.
You know, a lot of stuff can be done over the phone.
Yes, and I'll be calling in. I just wanted to thank you and Donna for your courageous work.
Thank you.
It's a answer to a prayer for a lot of us. Yeah. Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sola.
Okay, Bobby.
Yeah, well, you see, I'm not alone in feeling that in spite of your associations with Kennedy and Rotkin, you should not be entirely discounted in your good work. I'd like to, before I forget, make an important announcement. Some of the listeners may remember Tama Perlman. Tama was a sleeper in front of City Hall in 1996, a young woman who eventually had a child, and the child is still around. Tama, however, is not. She died January 27, 1998, at the age of 24. She was a sleeping band activist, environmentalist, mother, daughter, sister, and friend. And there's going to be a gathering in remembrance of Tama Perlman. That's going to be happening Saturday, this coming Saturday, 3:30 p.m., 2566 Parker Street. That's off Soquel Drive, near the Skyview Drive-In, near the corner of Soquel and Winkle. Again, that's Saturday, 3:30 p.m. at 2566 Parker Street, off Soquel Drive, near the Skyview Drive-In, near the corner of Soquel and Winkle. It's going to be kind of a time of sharing. There's going to be a potluck. You can get more information by calling Dan or Irene at 479-1503. 479-1503. Tama accumulated numerous sleeping tickets, sleeping there with her partner. She actually had her child taken away from her for a period of time because she was homeless. Actually, it was taken away when she wasn't homeless, but she had previously been homeless, and that apparently counted against her. There's a whole story around that, which if folks are interested, you can get a copy of the newspaper Street Spirit, which did a whole story on Tama, as well as she was on the cover with her partner, as a pregnant woman at that time in the fall of 1996, when she and so many others supported the rights of poor and homeless people by sleeping out in front of City Hall for 7.5 months. There was a sleep out at that time. It was harassed by Kennedy, who tore down signs. It was harassed by Rotkin, who ordered arrests. It was ignored by Celia Scott and Catherine Byers, who refused to come to court to support with affidavits what was going on there, even though they told us privately that they thought that some of the actions of the council and the police were disgraceful. It was the target of an injunction which was passed, and Dan Hopkins, the co-founder of that City Hall Sleepers Vigil, got literally hundreds of tickets, and he is now one of the three who started the City Hall Sleepers, I should say the Sleeping Ban Repeal Initiative, which is making the rounds. You heard David Silva again remind you that at 1 o'clock on Saturday, for those of you who want to remember Tama, first go to Loudoun Nelson Center, get a petition, or ask how you can help, and show up to get signatures for this petition. We need, I would say, probably about 6,500 signatures. We technically only need 3,800, but so many were thrown out in the Pelton Street property activity that we need more signatures than ever to make sure that this is on the ballot in November. We're just trying to make sure that we get to vote on this issue. The city council that stole away the Pelton Street property, the city council that refuses to allow homeless people a legal place to sleep, even as the Winter Armory shelter closes and the rains resume. The city council that will not rein in a police force that shoots homeless activists dead, then says that they had a toy gun and were brandishing it in the case of Happy John Dine. Won't even have a public investigation into that issue, won't even have public hearings or an independent investigation by the Citizens Police Review Board. It's up to the citizens to take some kind of action to deal with this situation. And that's where we have people in our studio like Marco and Donna here who are doing something about this, who are organizing with activists like Silva to protect the rights of poor people. But we're talking not just homeless people, but tenants as well, who are just a check away or a landlord's whim away from homelessness. Is there more you two want to say? I'm going to kind of turn to a few more announcements.
I want to talk a little bit about habitability and give people a little bit of the law about that.
Sure.
Because I know a lot of people, especially up in the mountains, are living in places that are substandard. Maybe you're getting a little bit lower rent because of that, but you probably have some kind of unspoken or oral agreement with the landlord not to report this so you can continue living at a rent that's less than what they could get if it was brought up to standard. So I'd like you to know your rights as far as that goes. This is according to the NOAA Press book, one of the books we got today. It's a pocket guide to California law, so it answers a lot of different questions. All rental units in California must be weatherproof, waterproof, and rodentproof. That's Civil Code 1941.1. We know a lot of you had a lot of leaks in your roof this winter and have rodents and other vermin living around your building, so be aware you are protected by this law. The plumbing must be in good condition. Every unit must have a toilet, wash basin, and bathtub or shower. That's also 1941.1. Have a kitchen with a sink. That's according to the Health and Safety Code, 17920.3. Provide hot water at least 110 degrees Fahrenheit. Civil Code 1941.1, Health and Safety Code 17920.3. Have adequate heat. Civil Code 1941.1, Health and Safety Code 17920.3. Have natural light through windows or skylights. Provide electrical power if it is available in the area, complete with safe and proper wiring. Have a smoke detector. If you live in a multiple unit dwelling since 1987, have adequate garbage storage and removal facilities. Have a telephone jacket, inside phone wiring. That's 1941.4 and Public Utilities Code 788. Your city and county may also have other requirements. Check with your building inspector or health department on that. So we know a lot of you aren't enjoying all these wonderful extra things that we don't seem to have, which are really necessities. And the thing is, with a lot of landlord cases, you've got to strike first, and that is send them a letter saying, look, you got 30 days to fix this, so I will report you to the Building Inspector Department, Code Enforcement Division, or Environmental Health, whichever the case may be. That way, if they do try to evict you, you will win because you are the one that took the action. They cannot evict you for reporting to a government agency. You can also sue the landlord in small claims court for intentional infliction of emotional distress. If you go through an eviction, You got to check your court records and make sure they haven't entered a judgment against you, which could go on your credit rating. So you need to do certain things to make sure all that is on the level and taken care of. And you're entitled to get your deposit back within 15 days after you move out. Let's see. You are entitled to 24-hour written notice anytime your landlord wants to enter your dwelling, unless it's an emergency. A lot of landlords don't seem to know that. They seem to think they can just knock on your door and pretend to be your friend and come in, and that's not your privacy. That's not your peaceful enjoyment of the property. Remember, you own that property on a month-to-month basis. You're entitled to the right to enjoy that. And especially with the high rents that we have, we need to get our maximum out of it. So that means fighting back and meeting with the lawyers and keep in touch with us and keep in touch with each other. 426-0644. I'm going to give you back to Robert.
That's great, Donna. That's Donna Dice of the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz. For those of you who just tuned in, and we do still...